We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's going on, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast. And today I'm coming at you with my man, Josh Felber. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you, my man?
Yeah, thanks, Trey. Appreciate having me on the show and super excited today to be here. I mean, I guess the easiest way is I've been a serial entrepreneur since I was 14. I'm a dad, a husband and everything, and just love creating and, launching businesses. So it's super fun and exciting. And now we've been growing our personal care brand business that my wife had started in 2012 over the last 9 years now. And put together an awesome advisory board and, products that we're in retail and direct to consumer with and everything. So it's been a fun ride.
Awesome, man. So you said that you've been a serial entrepreneur since you were 14 years old. What was your first business?
Well, initially starting right before that, I was cutting lawns and the baseball cards, football cards, all that kind of thing. And then, my first real business, I call it, is I started a computer business. One day my dad had brought home a Commodore 64 back then. This was probably over 35 years ago. And so he brought me a Commodore 64 and started using it and everything. And one day I was like, oh man, they're coming out with this newer computer called the Amiga. And it was kind of like what the gaming stations are today, but way back then. And so I was like, oh, I got to get one. It was like $800. And I think I had around 400 saved up. And I was like, okay, I know there's got to be a better way to buy one of these, and started researching. And long story short, figured out you could become a dealer, a wholesaler. And I got all that set up and ordered one for myself. And then I had friends that were like, oh man, I love that. That's awesome. I was like, well, I can get you one, a lot, for less expensive than you can, directly through the company. And so that's how it kind of all started. And then ended up selling floppy disks and accessories and all sorts of things at computer user groups and all that, and shows and things. And so that's kind of what got my whole entrepreneur venture kicked off.
Awesome, man. So we're actually building up an audience of younger people and kids. Actually, we're working on a program called Limitless Kids, where we're going to be offering them group coaching and software and stuff like that. So we're only going to be getting a bigger audience of kids. So what advice would you give to a kid that was wanting to start a business, but was maybe scared to walk up to adults and try to sell them something?
Yeah, no, great question. It's funny. All my kids have businesses. So my boys own a company called, gratitudegear.com, and they make t-shirts and all other kinds of gear that they have that has like a cool, really awesome, cool gratitude sayings and things like that on it. And one day they came to me and they're like, oh, hey, we want to start a business, and because we involve them in everything we do. And so they first started, this is probably like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they started a fidget spinner business, and they jumped on ClickFunnels and built out their whole funnel and started doing fidget spinners. But it was kind of like near the end of the decline of fidget spinners. And so probably about 8 months ago, about a year ago now, they're like, hey, we want to start a gum business. And I was like, well, think of something that you don't need inventory with, something that you don't have to have employees with, and that you just have to focus on the marketing side of it. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And so they came up with like clothing and t-shirts, and so it's all outsourced. They've ordered a bunch of the shirts in, got the softer shirts and all that kind of stuff. But And you know, and now they have all these, you know, great sales that come from, you know, all these t-shirts and gear and everything. But I, you know, for them, it was, you know, I asked them, is, you know, when you're doing this, you know, you got to figure out, something that you're passionate about, something that you love, and then just go do it. And one of the big things that we do is we've, always taken our kids to all of our events that we go to and masterminds and trainings and stuff. And sometimes they hang out with our nanny. And other times they're involved in it. They got a few years ago when ClickFunnels was in Orlando for the first time, they went down there and I think it was right around 3,000 or 3,500 people or something that was at that event. And they hung out and chatted with all the different people, participated in the event. And then a good friend of mine, Chris Record, was going up on stage to wrap the ClickFunnels wrap that he had created like a year before that. And when they had first heard Chris doing all these previously, they had started creating all their own entrepreneur raps like he was and videoing them and recording them and putting them online. So Chris was like, dude, that's awesome. He was like, well, why don't you guys come up on stage and, you know, and rap with me. And so they all went up and went in front of like 3,500 people and they rapped the whole ClickFunnels song while they were up there. And, you know, and so one of the biggest things I think, you know, that we've been able to instill in them is, you know, the confidence and, you know, and not worrying about if somebody says no, not, you know, worrying about, you know, how it's, you know, going to end up just, hey, you know, whatever you have, you know, just go up and ask about. And another good example was I take each one of our kids every couple of years on a, just like a one-on-one trip. And one of my boys, after I'd just gotten back from New York with the other one, we went to hang out with Gary Vee. And then I took my other boy, Roman, out to Joe Polish's event a couple years ago for the annual event. And we got out there and hung out and met a lot of the people. And then that first evening, we went out to a basketball game, watched the Suns play. And he got a basketball, a free basketball and one of those Suns tattoos. And then we got back to the event and people were hanging out at the bar restaurant area and we were talking to him and all of a sudden out of the blue, he just started trying to sell everybody the basketball for $10 and he ended up selling that. And he went up to found some more people and ended up selling the Suns tattoo for $5. And he's like, he thought this was just awesome. And so he went and the next day they had all these booths that you could get free things at and ClickFunnels had a booth there. And he knew all the people. So he was going up and getting the pack of ClickFunnels socks. They had like a box of six and they were giving them to him. And so he was actually going around and selling individual pairs for $10 a pair to people. And he ended up making like $400 in like 48 hours while we were there. But he just has always felt, you know, we've just instilled him and brought him around people so they feel comfortable, you know, communicating and being, you know, in front of adults. So, I mean, my advice, you know, is, you know, to kids that are looking to start a business or wanting to go up and, you know, and talk to people, whether it's sales or whatever, you know, is, you know, just have confidence in yourself and who you are. Kind of have like a no fear kind of mindset. That was one of the biggest things that helped me over the years start multiple companies and things was I never worried about like, oh, is this business going to fail? Or, oh, what is this person going to say when I walk up to them? You know, that didn't really concern me. You know, I just was like, all right, cool. I'm going to do this or I'm going to go talk to them. And however it ends up. And, you know, with a business, whether it was starting a business, you know, I didn't look at like, oh man, is this business going to fail? Or what happens if this happens? It's just like, cool. This is going to be the best business. That's going to be the biggest. It's going to be the most amazing. And that's always been the right mindset that I've had. And so, you know, I think confidence, having the right mindset and, you know, just going after what you want to get done.
I love that, man. So that actually ties into my next question. Like, where did all the confidence come from for you? Were you always confident or did you have to build that up?
I mean, I was an introvert growing up. So it was not like, oh, cool. I just, you know, was out there talking to everybody and, you know, being the life of the party kind of thing. But it was more, I think, over the support from family, you know, like my parents, I think just, you know, support and whatever I did, you know, helped as well as right around that 14 years old, 15 years old. I read Think and Grow Rich, and then I read Unlimited Power and Awaken the Giant from Tony Robbins, and started actually applying all those principles and things that I learned, whether it was goals, whether it was communication pieces that I learned, you know, from those books, mindset, from Think and Grow Rich, and everything. And so I think being able to apply those at a young age helped develop the confidence and, you know, kind of that, that growth mindset, you know, that you need.
I love it, man. So I got to ask, how did you go from being the introvert to being the podcast host, jumping on shows like this? Like, I guess, how did you sharpen that speaking ability?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's for me over the years, I think it's just being in front of, you know, just being around a lot of different people. One of the companies I own, I mean, we had, you know, 500 people working for us. And, you know, and so in teaching and, you know, teaching and training sales. So I was always in front of people, and you just have to do it. It's not like, I got to shy away from it. And, you know, the first times always suck. And it just, even like when I went and started my podcast 6 years ago, it was, I didn't really want to be on video. I didn't, you know, but I was like, but I thought, okay, video is the way to go, because most people are doing audio. And I was like, all right, I got to get video and just, you know, start shooting video. And, you know, going back and, you know, seeing the first ones, you're like, man, it's, you know, going from that to, you know, today, and, you know, just continuously gaining the confidence. And I think really do it. You just have to get out and do it, and get in front of people, whether it's, you know, maybe you're afraid, you don't want to even pick up the mic and, you know, do an audio podcast, you know, start off, you know, do short 30-second, 1-minute clips, you know, start to walk, you know, before you, you know, run with it. And, you know, or if you want to be on video, but maybe you don't want to be on video, and that's where you need to be, you know, start with, you know, short little snippets, and, you know, talk about, you know, something that you're passionate about and that you love. If you try to, you know, find things outside of that, it's going to be harder for you to talk and communicate about and get that sense, like, you know, that that's what you care about. And so, a lot of it is just doing it, getting through the fear, and realizing, you know, when it's the fear, it's kind of your ego that's getting in the way. And I think that's a big part of it. And so, you know, being able to step outside of that and knowing that you have something amazing that you can create tremendous value with for others, you know, I think is a big focus where people should look at.
Absolutely, man. And I love that you mentioned that too, because I mean, I actually kind of went down the rabbit hole the other day. I pulled up some of my first podcast interviews and me getting on other shows, and I cringed so hard. But then I watched I watched some of my new ones, and I was like, wow, like if I hadn't have gone through those cringy episodes of realistically sucking, then I never would have got to the point of talking to where I am and really confidently interviewing the people that I interview and jumping on other shows and just delivering the answers in the way that I can. It comes down to that practice and doing it over and over again. So I love the real answer on that, man.
For sure. Yeah.
So you've started a lot of companies at this point. What are you focused on now?
So all my focus has been just growing our personal care brand with my wife. So, I mean, we manufacture the best dental care products out there, all natural. We're right here from Akron, Ohio. So we have like 20 people that work for us and, you know, helping grow the company. And she's the face of the brand. I kind of help run operationally, vision, connections, things like that. Like over 2020, we were able to get super focused, continue to grow, but then also build out our advisory board with where we want the company to go. And I mean, we were fortunate to have like Damon John, he's part of our advisory board, Dave Asprey from Bulletproof Coffee, another gentleman named Jim Morrison, who is the ex-president of L'Oreal. So really, and we have a few others as well too, but, you know, just really building up that, and so the focus is there, obviously, and from a personal brand side for myself, it's been with growing Making Bank podcast, as well as we've recently started to teach and help others, you know, how we've utilized podcasting to grow businesses, and, you know, and to help, you know, help other people do the same thing. And so that's a bit of a big area as well.
Awesome, man. I love that. So what do you think contributes to the amount of growth that you've been able to achieve? I mean, you've hit the Inc list 4 times. Like, most people never get to do that once.
Yeah. It's for us, you know, one thing that's been really great about our brand Primal Life Organics is from my wife's a nurse and a nurse anesthetist and stuff. And so she is all with the mindset of education, and she wants to be able to communicate to people and to, you know, out there, you know, what's working, what's not working, what the, you know, the all the bad, all the products that contain such bad ingredients and everything, and how it's actually hurting your health. I mean, obviously with all the craziness with COVID and things like that, you know, if you're healthy and you're taking care of yourself, you know, whether it's supplementation, vitamin D and vitamin C and things like that, to what you're putting in and on your body, I mean, you're going to be in a healthier position. Whereas whether if you got sick with that or the flu or anything like that, you're able to recover faster than not. And so, with the growth side of it, you know, we kicked off and initially have always been with direct to consumer. So we focused on building that educational, that culture around the brand, focused on directly communicating with our consumer base. And then just until like the last 18 months is when we started to focus going into retail. So now we're in 160 something natural grocery stores. We're moving into Sprouts and Fresh Time and places like that, that best fit our product and our brand and everything. But I think, you know, the other part is from the vision side and where we want it to go and, you know, how we're moving the company forward. I mean, we've pretty much almost doubled every year with growth and revenue, revenue growth, you know, since we started in 2012 with that.
Awesome, man. So if you had to start a new company today, what would be the first steps that you would take to get the initial cash flow into that company?
Yeah, good question. So, I mean, there's a lot of different areas. Obviously, if you're starting with zero cash, you know, it might be a way you can arbitrage stuff. You know, whether it's, you know, now's a great time to be selling patriotic things, survival, things around that side of it, because with the direction, you know, people are not sure where, you know, everything's going to go, you know, and so they think that's a, you know, good area, but you can start locally. I mean, you can, you know, maybe you're at Walmart and they have certain things like, oh, cool, you know, this is great. Let me go and put that up online and, you know, and try to sell it. And, you know, you set up a merchant account and you don't even have the product yet, but you take all the pictures and put it up there and then somebody buys it. Now you got the money, you run back over to Walmart, you pay for the product, bring it back, ship it to them. And, you know, you made whatever the, you know, difference is 20-30%. And then now you use that money to reinvest back in, continue to do that. And, you know, until you build up, you know, $500, $1,000. And, you know, now you can, you know, start to figure out, okay, cool. Now I can find a wholesaler. Now I can buy these even, you know, for a better price and then be able to, you know, get more margins and things like that. So, you know, starting, you know, and, or starting locally, I mean, you can, you know, go out and find, you know, groups and things like that, that, you can connect with people in and, you know, hey, this is, you know, this is what I'm selling and, great. I'll bring it, you know, I'll bring it by, you know, tomorrow and you go pick up the product, bring it to them. So, I mean, a great way is, you know, through kind of an arbitrage process to, do that.
Awesome, man. That makes perfect sense. And in reality, I see a lot of people in the business and entrepreneur space kind of like, that's kind of what affiliate marketing is. And in our world, you don't really have to have a product. You don't really have to have your own service that you sell. As long as you provide value to people and you put something that people need in front of them, then you're going to make some money. You're going to get some cash flow in, and you're going to learn in the process. And you're going to be able, once you have that money, you're going to be able to apply what you learn to do more with that money.
For sure. Yeah. And we have a lot of affiliates that, you know, remarket our products. I mean, I know that's, you know, a good growth portion for us is, you know, working with affiliates that have significantly sized email lists and things like that. So.
Awesome, man. So you have one of the top rated podcasts in the entrepreneur space. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I mean, I started it out initially because Grant Cardone kept edging me to do one. And, you know, and so that's kind of what got me kicked off in doing a podcast. And then once I started doing it, I was like, man, this is actually pretty cool. And once I got through the, all right, I don't want to be on camera part, but the other side of it is from the networking side and just being able to connect with a lot of people. We've been fortunate to always grab some amazing guests and, over the years, and it's, you know, helped, I think, to the growth of it. And I think the biggest thing, you know, for people with podcasts is you gotta not be worried about reaching out, you know, to somebody. If you want to have them, you know, make your top 100 list of guests you want to have. And, you know, I have that, and I haven't gotten to all of mine yet. I've come close on a few, and at the last minute, the deal got canceled or whatever. And so, you know, you just make your list of your top 100. And, you know, start focusing, going after it. And, you know, that's what I've done. And it's been amazing. We've been able to create a lot of impact for people. I mean, Damon John, Gino Wickman, you know, Todd Herman, you know, Making Bank has been on their top five list of shows that they go to when they launch a book or need some additional promotion. So I've had a lot of guests back multiple times due to book launches and things as well, because it drives traffic, our audience, and, you know, drives traffic to their book, and it creates synergistic alignment with what they're doing. And, you know, for me, trying to create value for them as much as I can with the podcast, one of the big things that we do that I haven't seen a lot of other areas, unless you're Gary Vaynerchuk, but we put out about 250 pieces of content for every episode. So we have an episode that launches on Sunday through Saturday. That episode gets marketed and out there and becomes omni-channel, omnipresent everywhere. And like I said, about 250 pieces of content goes out for each episode. So I think that is the other part of it that's helped us continue to grow and to you know, stay ranked in the top entrepreneurial space for podcasts.
I love that, man. And frankly, a lot of people neglect the power of just repurposing the content that you're already creating. And
for sure,
that's one of the biggest things that I try to teach people is if you focus on a long-term source of media, then you have content forever, legitimately.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can continue to always reuse it and to, you know, you remarket it out there and, you know, drive people back. I mean, that was one of the big things was during the first part of 2020 with everything going on. Normally, a lot of times I like to fly places and line up five or six interviews with top people. And so I had I think six or eight episodes in LA lined up in March that we ended up having to cancel. And so, and normally we have a pretty good buffer of shows, but when that happened and a lot of people weren't sure what was going on and everything, we ended up not recording. So we had a gap. I was like, man, okay, what are we going to do to fill that gap? And so what we did is we went back and for about, I think we had five episodes that we took and did a compilation of our other shows. So one that was all kind of focused on marketing, and we took like our top four or five marketing episodes and clipped out the highlights and put them into one show. And so, you know, it allowed us to get through that, you know, that 5 or 6 week period that we didn't have any recordings for during that time. And then by that time we were able to cycle back in and start releasing additional new shows and all. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a huge, tremendous amount of opportunity there that people are missing out on.
Absolutely. Make it once, make it and then turn it into an asset and leverage it forever. So
yeah,
you mentioned that you created a list of 100 people and that you still haven't got to all of them. What is your strategy for getting in front of these people that are just hard to get to?
A lot of times it's just direct messaging them, whether it was on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter initially. Other times it's been, I've tried to reach out and then ended up connecting with them at an event somewhere. Maybe they were the speaker or a guest at the event and was able to connect with them there. And then, you know, then it was like, oh yeah, hey, you know, let's follow up with so-and-so and, you know, we'll get this set up. And so I think that is just persistence, not being afraid to ask and to go after it. So, you know, when people are making that Dream 100 list, if you Google Chet Holmes Dream 100, and you know, it kind of gives you kind of the insights on how to do it and how to think about it, you know, but go big and, you know, figure out who those people are that you would love to, you know, be in your network, be in your group, you know. And that's why I've always looked at who's those top, you know, people that I'd always want to surround myself with. And, you know, if I had that chance to really, you know, ask them some questions and things. And so, that's, you know, what it's been for me.
Awesome, man. So you've got the family, you've got the business, you've got the podcast. How the hell do you keep it all organized?
Blocking and chunking out time. It's like I said, we involve our kids in a lot of the stuff that we do. So, but you know, in the morning, you know, spending time with them, we have like a morning routine that we all participate in and enjoy doing and everything. And, you know, that includes like working out and meditation and journaling and a lot of different things like that. Usually in the evenings, several days a week, the kids and I do martial arts. And so it's, you know, time there. And then, the business throughout the day, recording wise for the podcast, I usually take 2 days a month and then block out the whole day and record like 5 to 6 shows for each one of those days. So we can usually knock out anywhere from 8 to 12 shows, twice a month. And so that, you know, it's really managing your time effectively is the way I try to do it. And, you know, work in time block chunks, whether it's, 40 minutes and, you know, I need to get through and clear my inbox and my emails, plus respond to the ones that need to be handled right away to, you know, obviously we're in a direct to consumer business through social media and Facebook and digital marketing and things like that. So, you know, I have time that I'm online that, you know, I'm not creating content. I'm actually either consuming or responding to see where things are at and, you know, and how people are responding to the ads or, you know, whatever it might be. And so the more that you can control and manage that time, the more freedom you actually have.
Absolutely, man. So you've got a book coming that's available for pre-order. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, definitely. We were going to release it last year and then decided to hold off. And then it's a good thing too, because it's getting some tweaks right now and kind of the direction of it. So the name and title are going to change a little bit on it and everything. But the focus, you know, has always been it's been taken from the podcast interviews that I've done with top people. And then what I've done throughout my journey. And one of the specific things that we've extracted from that is, you know, through the different companies that I've owned is really being able to niche down. And so kind of finding what those, the riches are in the niches and, you know, and kind of really figuring out and helping people figure out where they are, you know, is their business, you know, in that right zone, and then, you know, and then how to create growth from that, utilizing the different tools that are available today, whether through podcasting or social and everything. And so it's been able to extract some of the best top minds in all areas of whether it was from marketing to habits to family to growth, and then applying those and then putting those in that book to give people kind of a framework and a path to follow to do that.
Awesome, man. Well, that book is definitely going to change some lives. And there's really a lot of power in not only giving people action steps, but showing them like people that have done it. So I love the way that you're compiling it all together.
Yeah, totally agree.
Awesome, man. Well, what is the best way for people to see more of you and get involved with what you're doing?
Yeah, easiest way is just hit my website. It's Josh, J-O-S-H, last name Felber, F as in Frank, E-L, B as in boy, E-R.com. All my social media accounts are linked on there, as well as Making Bang Podcast and everything else. So that's the easiest way to find me. And, you know, I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Clubhouse and all those fun things.
Awesome, man. Well, make sure you guys go connect with Josh. This has been an incredible interview, man. Thank you so much for your time today.
Trey, appreciate it. And again, thank you for your time and having me on your show.
Absolutely, brother.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.